Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Eruvin Daf Kuf Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will begin 20 lines from the top of Daf Kuf Beis. You will notice about halfway down a little bit more of the narrow lines of the Gemara. At the end of the line, a diamond appears where it reads, Boy Rebbe Zera. We will be beginning our Gemara at that point. However, before we start the actual text of the Gemara, just a couple of notes. Number one, and we have been dealing till now with the topic of bone, the malacha of construction. The last discussion we had concerned the use of a neger, which is a bolt designed to keep a door shut, and the bolt is inserted into the floor, keeping the door from being able to be opened. And you can see illustrations of the use of this neger in the Pirush Chai on page 224 and 225. We will be picking up our discussion with diagram number 79 at the top of 225. Our sugya has been focused on both meleches bone and another concept, mechzike bone, behavior that is not actual construction, but it looks like construction. So with that background in mind, we glance at the side of the Gemara on Daf Kuf Beis. You'll notice we have a Nosei Mivne heading where we feature a diamond. The diamonds in this Gemara represent two She'elos Be'inyan Tikunim Leneger, two questions regarding elements of the use of a neger, la'afsher tiltulo v'shimush bo shelo yeh mechzi kebone, the use of it in order that it shouldn't appear to be construction. So we now turn to the Gemara, Boy Rebbe Zera, Nikmaz Mahu. Let's take a look at Rashi. Nikmaz mahu, shenichnas haneger, b'chor ho askupo, v'nifchas oisoi hachor. The neger is designed to go into a hole in the threshold of the doorway, and that hole has become nifchas, it became eroded. V'yotza haneger litzara karka, v'noitz bakarka. As a result of the erosion of the hole in the threshold, the tip of the neger will end up reaching into the ground itself. In other words, the iskupa is built up upon the ground. The threshold is raised above the ground. However, in this case, as you can see illustrated in the cutaway diagram of 79, the hole extends into the ground. V'ad hashta airi kishaskupa gvoa v'ein achor nikev adlors. Until now, we were dealing with what appears in diagram 80. But our question right now involves what we see in 79. And from the fact that it goes into the ground creates a greater matter of concern regarding what we said before, melechas bonet. So the question was raised. Rabbi Zera raised the question. Notice the answer takes a few lines to develop. And we have a long answer marking. Omar Rav Yosef, my tiboyale, what is bothering Rabbi Zera to begin with? Lo shmiyale hodasanya, did he not hear the following Tanaic source? Nishmat osir, if the neger becomes detached from the rope that it is attached to, as we learned in our previous shiur, then it's also, it's forbidden to use the neger. Nikmaz muter. However, the nikmaz situation, the Tanakhama says is allowed. V'Rebbe Yehuda omer nikmaz afal pi she'eino nishmat oser. Rebbe Yehuda is strict and he says, once the hole is nikmaz, even though the neger remains attached to the rope, it is forbidden. The Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel, the Amora Rav Yehuda, quoting Shmuel, says, Halacha ki Rav Yehuda benikmaz. The halacha will follow the Tana Rav Yehuda in the case of nikmaz, which is a stringency. The time Omai, and why do we accept that? Omar Abaye Mishum de Merci Kibon. In other words, the reason why we are going to paskin like Rav Yehuda is because you have a situation where it looks like bone. I know it's more accurately we should say, what is the reason behind the psak of Rav Yehuda? It's because he feels that it's merci kibon, it appears as if one is building. Bo'aminei Rav Nechumi Bar Zachari Ma'abaye. Osa loy beis yad mahu. Let us say he has a neger, and a neger that's not tied at all, which otherwise we learned in our previous sugya, it's referred to as munach. It's lying in the corner, detached from the doorway altogether. Let's say you took a neger like that and you created a handle for it. A beis yad is a handle. Illustration 81 in the Pirush Chai might assist in appreciating this. And by doing that, he converts the bolt into a vessel, into a kli that would be fit to be used as a crushing device. Now that it's a kli, can it be used as a bolt to keep the door shut? Omar lei, so Abaye answers, buchna ko amris? Are you asking about the use of a buchna? A buchna is a crushing device used for crushing wheat or spices. And as what Abaye is saying, what he is saying basically is, oh, you're asking about the use of a kli? That's certainly mutter. It's certainly allowed because it doesn't appear to be merci kibone whatsoever. Itmar Omar Rav Nechumi Bar Ado. Also lo beis yad mutter. So this here's another gentleman with the name Nechumi, but it's a different person. This is Nechumi Bar Adol, says that if you make a beis yad, it is mutter, just like Abaye ruled. We continue by paying attention to some of our markings and also diagram 82. So, let's explain the markings we have. We have triangles and a double underline. So the Nosei Mivneh reading heading reads Shnei Dugmois. We have two examples, Sheldvorim Kvedim, heavy items, Sheetiru Tiltulam, where we allow their movement, Lahanicham Eitzel Hadeles, to place them near a door, keeping it shut. And why do we allow their movement? The Torah's Kliolam, that they happen to be vessels. So that when we deal with Hilchus Shabbos, contrary to what the uninformed might think, that on Shabbos it's forbidden to exert yourself, that's not accurate. It is mutter to exert oneself. Maybe it's not in the total spirit of Shabbos, but exertion is not the criterion by which we allow or forbid a Shabbos activity. Rather, there are other standards that define what is mutter and osir. And one of those is something defined as a utensil, as a kli, as a vessel. If it is defined as a vessel, so we will allow their movement and the issues of merci kibone will fall away. So in diagram 82, what do we see? We see a log. And we're going to talk about using this log as a lock, or as a door stopper, if you will, on Shabbos. So now the Gemara. Hahu shariso. Shariso is this heavy log. Dahava be Rebbe Pedos, that was in the house of Rebbe Pedos, that was very heavy. Dahava madlu lo be asora. Madlu is to raise, to pick something up. This was so heavy that it required be asora, 10 people to pick it up. Vishadu lo adosha. And it was placed by the door to keep it locked, to keep it closed at night. Velo Omar lehu velo midi, and Rabbi Pedos didn't say anything, didn't object to their carrying this log to keep the door shut. Omar toras kli olel, and the reasoning is that it is considered a vessel. You might ask, so what purpose, what use does a log have on Shabbos? The answer is, Rashi provides the answer. He says it's fit for using it as a seat. It's roi leishev alav, it's fit for sitting. Continuing in our examples, we look at illustration 83, and we see a jug, and we will see its use also in the same capacity. Hahi asita dahava bei mar Shmuel. So there's this asita vessel that was in the home of Shmuel. Dahava machzikis adrifa. It held. It had a capacity of 15 saw, which is a half a kor. A kor is 30 saw. A kor is a very large measure, and this held 15. Se'ah, half a kor, Shora mar Shmuel l'mishde adosha, and Shmuel allowed it being placed by the door, Omar toras kli olel, using the same reasoning before, that it is a vessel. We continue with a new marking on the side of the one that are no same mivne heading. We see a bow tie featured, Moisif al oyol aroi v'shapir domi. That will be the issue here is a structure that's considered an oyol aroi, literally a temporary type structure. An oil keva is something like a house, a building. Oil aroi, so we'll see examples of what is meant by an oil aroi in our Gemara. And it's, here we're not talking about making an oil aroi. That would be prohibited on Shabbos. However, we're dealing with adding to an oil aroi, adding to the temporary oil structure. One should be careful in this and many other Gemaras when you see a term, not to translate the term, because technically speaking, an oil is often is often translated as a tent. But here we're talking about, we're using the term oel as a structure, and you'll see how flexible this term can be as we go on with the examples. You'll see in the Gemara, we've highlighted the term Shapir Domi a couple of times. Shapir Domi means that it's okay. The ideas suggested here will be all right, will be acceptable on Shabbos. So we continue in the Gemara. Sholach le Romi bar Yecheskel Rav Amram. Nemo lon mor. So Romi requests of Rav Amram to kindly tell us, Meholin mili ma'al yisah, from some of these positive things, these good things, the Amrislon Mishmei, the Rav Asi, Bekifi de Arba, that you said in the name of Rav Asi regarding Kifi de Arba. Best way to approach Kifi de Arba is looking at illustration 84. And the caption reads, he takes it from the Rashi, we'll read it. The caption reads, Kifi de Arba, Barashi, Shinoatsin Kein, Margolin. We attach to a boat. An arba, by the way, is a boat. So kifi comes from the word like kippah. Kippah in modern Hebrew is a skull cap. It's a dome-shaped or rounded-shaped item. Kippah is a dome. So kifi and arba are these semi-circle hoops that are attached to a boat. That's Ke'en Ma'agolim, Rosho Echad B'doifen Zeh, Shel Sfina V'Rosho Sheni B'doifen Zeh. One end of this rod, or this bent rod, is attached to one side of the boat, and the other end is actually the other side of the boat. U'Porsim Godo Machzos Shel Gemi. And you can see in the diagram, what they would do is that they would then spread over these hoops either cloth or mats made of reed material. In the diagram, you see half of the boat is covered. So that's the case of Kifi de Arba. The request then was presented to Rav Amram to tell us, Rami Bar Chesu requested, could you tell us some of the things that you've said concerning Kifi de Arba? So Sholach Lei, Rav Amram sends back, Hochi Omer Rav Asi, thusly says Rav Asi, Hani Kifi de Arba, Vizman, Shiesh, Bohan, Tefach. If those hoops happen to have a width of a tefach. So it would be some type of flexible material with a width of a tefach. E nami ein bohen tefach. Or another case would be where they don't have a tefach in width they might be thin rods. However, they're placed successively one after the other with a very small gap between them. The ein bein zelo zesh shloisha, and there is less than three tfachim between each narrow hoop, creating a situation called lovud. Lovud means they're viewed as if they are attached. It would be viewed as if the boat is already roofed completely with these hoops. So you have either case. Either the hoops themselves are one tefach wide, each one of them, then the gap between each hoop would not be of any concern to us. Or the hoops are very thin, but they are within three tefachim of one another. Either way, the boat is considered as if it is already covered. As a result of that, l'mochar mevi machtzelos u'brosaleihem. On Shabbos day, you can then bring a mat or other cloth and spread it out over the hoops. My time, why are we allowing this? The answer is moisif aloyel aroihu v'shap yerdomi. All you're doing is adding to an existing oil. The existing oil was in the form of the hoops with a tefach width, a tefach covering, that which covers, and it has a tefach width. You could have a board that runs overhead. That is considered an oihel. So either way, the oihel was established before Shabbos by the mere positioning of the hoops. Therefore, on Shabbos itself, all you are doing is adding to an existing oihel aroi. The aroi is the boat itself, is not a permanent structure like a building. And therefore, all that you're doing is adding to an existing oil aroy, and we said the pre-existing oil was determined by the hoops as they were set up. The shab yudomi, and it's therefore allowed. Hano dichri. We turn to illustration 85. What do we see in that picture? We see a pen. We see some animals in the pen, and the general practice was that during the daytime, let's say during the weekday, daytime hours to provide shade for the animals, the mat or the covering would be unfolded, rolled out, creating a roof, providing them with shade. At night, they didn't need that, so it would be rolled up. We look at now in our Gemara, Hano Dichri literally are rams. Dehavu le Rav Huna, that were owned by Rav Huna, de bimama bo tula, at night, during the daytime hours, they require tula, shade, uvalaylo bo avir, and at night they need air. The Rashi explains, like you might be wondering why at night do they need air, because we're talking about during the summer months, there is heat, and in order to have the heat dissipated, even though it's nighttime, the mat would be rolled up. During the weekdays, Rashi points out that during the daytime they would be spread out. The mats would spread out over, forming a roof or shade for them. And at night, they would be removed. What about Shabbos? So we continue in the Gemara. Also, l'kame d'rav. The case came to Rav to know what to do on Shabbos. Omale, Rav answers, Zil kroch budya v'shir bo tefach. On Friday, before Shabbos, set up a mat and roll it up, but leave a tefach unrolled. You can see that in the diagram, 85. You see where the aleph is? A hand's breadth is left extended, or spread out, with the rest of the mat rolled up. So you roll it up practically to the end, but leave a tefach still over the pen. L'mochar, then on Shabbos day, when they need the shade, poshto, you can unravel the mat, creating a roof for them. U'moisif al oil aroy hu v'shabri domi. All that you're doing is, since you left a tefach extended or open, that means the mat was left, a tefach was left unrolled, you already established a roof. And the further unraveling of the mat is simply moisif al oil aroy, and hence it is mutter. We continue in the Gemara. Omar Rav, Mishum Rebbe Chia, Vilon mutter lintoisu mutter leforkoi b'shabbos. A vilon is sometimes translated as a curtain. Here we're dealing with a vilon, a curtain in front of a doorway that people put there for privacy reasons, for reasons of tznius. So, with regard to a curtain, one can put it up and take it down on Shabbos. That is not considered even. It's not considered boneh or even merci ke boneh. Kilas chasanim is illustrated by looking at the diagrams at the top of page 226. So in the Gemara it says kilas hamuter leforko unetoiso b'shabbos. So let's say a word about this kilas chasanim. First of all, it's a canopy bed, and that might be plainly visible by looking at the diagram. It's made by the basic bed you can see on the right hand side on the top of page 226. That is, you have upright poles and a crossbar, and then upon that one would place a curtain or a screen, like you can see in the middle diagram. So the kilas chasanim, the Gemara is telling us, one is mutter to set it up and take it and remove it. That means remove the covering, the canopy, on Shabbos. Now this point is going to be qualified. So by way of markings, as we go on in the Gemara, we will notice a couple of markings. The first marking, this house marking, highlights shnei meimros shel Rav Sheshes Breider of Edi. We have a comment that he makes now, and another comment of his will be on the top of Omid Beis. And now, as we go on, we see a series of triangles on the side under our Nosei Mivneh heading, Hamodas Kilas Chasanim. The topic has to do with setting up this Kilas Chasanim, Mosai Beis Tanoi Mutter. Under what circumstances is it really allowed? Bearing in mind that establishing a covering over an existing structure, in theory, represents a problem, an iser of boineh, if you will, or merci ke boneh. What about this case? So we just got finished saying that Rav, in the name of Reb Chiya, says that you can set up a kilas chasanim. Omar Rav Sheshes Brei Deravidi Lo Amoron Elo. This is a qualification. We say that it's mutter Elo She'ein Begago Tefach, where the very top comes to a point where it doesn't have a width of a tefach. Avol yesh begago tefach osur. Now there's an illustration of what that would look like if you see 87. What you're looking at in illustration 87 is a side view, or looking at it from the foot or the head of the bed. You're looking straight on, and you see two upright poles that are spread apart from one another, as opposed to a singular upright pole, which would have resulted in a canopy coming to a point. You have two upright poles spread apart from one another, a tefach, and then when you spread the sheet across, and you can see in the illustration, if you look closely, you see the sheet is spread across. There is a roof measuring a tefach of width. And that would be also to set up a kilas chasanim in an 87 situation. The Gemara continues, v'chi ein begago tefach nami, even in a case where there isn't a tefach, where the roof comes to a point, nami lo amoron, this too is said to be mutter, however, only elo she'ein bepochos mishloisho somach legag tefach. Look at illustration 89, and what do you see there? You see a canopy that comes to a point. You also see that in the course of, let's say, descent, where you descend from the very top, three tvachim, after you've descended three tvachim, it reaches one tefach of width. So we are telling you that it's mutter to use or to set up the canopy, provided that it doesn't reach a tefach of width within three tefachim near the top. Avol yesh bepachos mishloisha somuch legag tefach, the Gemara says. If, however, within three tefachim of the roof, it already reaches a width of one tefach, usser, then it will be usser to set it up on Shabbos. Furthermore, v'chi ein bepachos mishloisha somuch legag tefach nami, even if, let's say, it's acute angle, whereby it doesn't reach a width of three tefachim, a width of one tefach within three tefachim of the roof. Nami lo amron elo she'ein b'shipua, we're at the top of Omid Beis, she'ein b'shipua tefach. Avol yesh b'shipua tefach, but if you have this situation called shipua tefach, shipua oilim ke'olim domu. Now, we haven't explained what is the case of shipua tefach. Rashi has a pshat, but the Tosfos has actually not just the Tosfos, but the Rashi himself. The Rashi explains two pshatim. We made a mistake by citing Tosfos. Rather, Rashi himself presents his first pshat. He doesn't like it, and therefore comes on to a second pshat. Now, these are represented by diagrams as well. So the first pshat is illustrated in 90. 90, we're saying that the whole Kilas Chasanim setup will be mutter with all of the qualifications that we mentioned till now, with this final qualification that when you reach the surface of the bed, the entire width does not exceed two tefachim. That means that at the midpoint, where the upright rod, where the upright pole meets the bed, that to either side you don't have a tefach. But if to either side you have a tefach, which would then account for a two tefach width, then it would be osir. Based on this concept of shipua literally is the slant of a roof, is considered like the roof itself. Rashi doesn't like this pshat because what kind of bed has any practical value if it's the entire width of the bed is two hand breadths? Would be basically useless. Even someone suffering from anorexia would probably not be able to make use of a bed so narrow. Therefore, Rashi comes up with a second pshat, and that's featured in diagram 91, where there are successive poles of differing heights in an alternating fashion, one low, one high, one low, and one high. So if you can see in diagram 92, the Aleph illustrates when a problem would arise, and it would arise if you have a gap between those poles of one tefach, then it would be usher to set up the covering of this bed canopy. If the poles are within a tefach, then it's okay. We continue in the Gemara, the second line from the top. On the side of the Gemara, under our No Say heading, in the margin we've written, Hayim mutter lachvoish koiva of leved im shulayim rechavim tefach v'lotseis bo b'shabbos. Is it mutter for a person to put on a felt hat with a wide-brimmed hat? This wide brim, if it measures a tefach or more, would that be mutter to wear on Shabbos? So the Gemara, the Omer of Shisha Bredi Ravidi, Siyano Shori. The Siyano is a reference to the hat, and Rashi talks about it, a Kova Shel Levit. Levit is felt, and he even uses that, a word in French that would appear to be the same as the English word. So Rav Shisha says that wearing this kind of hat on Shabbos is allowed. Tanya also, but do we not have a source that says it's forbidden? Loi kasha. And you can see we have a couple stages of resolving this, and we've noted that with a double underline. So the first attempt to resolve this problem is lo kasha ha de is bei tefach ha de les bei tefach. If it has a brim measuring a tefach, so it will be osir. And if it doesn't have such a wide brim, then it will be mutter. And at this point in the Gemara, the thinking is that the brim that extends outwards, horizontally outwards, would be the equivalent of making an oihel. Elo me'ato, the Gemara asks, if the tefach is a problem because of making an oihel, shirbev beglime tefach hachinami da'osir. If you look in diagram 94 at the top of page 227, the middle diagram, someone who, let's say, cloaks himself, wraps himself in a garment, in a talis, and he extends the top of it one tefach, are you going to say that that's forbidden? Certainly not. No one would think that that would be forbidden. So what's the problem? How do we resolve the stira or the question on Rav Shisha from the Brisa that says it's also the siyana is also elo lo kashya ha de mahadik ha de lo mahadik. So according to the poshut pshat of the Gemara, the issue of the siyana has nothing to do with oihel, but rather it has to do with the fear of it flying off his head. So once again, the siyana is a hat, and if the hat is mahadik, means it's firmly attached, so then that's what Rav Shisha was talking about. If it's not mahadik, then because of the fear of it falling off your head and you're coming to pick it up and carry it, Dalet Amos in the Rishus HaRabim, so it will then be osir. And that's what the Brisa was referring to. If we look in Rashi, he says, therefore, if it's mahadik, Rashi says in the middle of the last Dibur Masel before the Mishnah, he says, Hilkoch ki mahadik v'kosher b'rtzua tachas savaro shori, v'lo osir. Rashi says, if it's firmly attached and tied with a strap under your neck, then it will be mutter. Otherwise, no. And you can see that's illustrated in 93. The strap appears in that picture as well. There is further discussion on this matter in the Tosfos at the top of the page. So for those who are interested, you can look into the Tosfos and especially see what the Rach adds to this discussion. We continue with the Mishnah. And before we look at the Mishnah, we want to also note diagram 96. This Mishnah is a continuation of the theme of boneh, and we see in 96 a closet that has a door, and the door fits into place with the use of hinges, pegs that extend from the edge of the door, vertical pegs, and they would be affixed into a hole upon which the hinge would swing. We will be talking about a door that becomes dislodged, and you can see that's what's illustrated if you look carefully in illustration 96. So with that in mind, we continue with the Mishnah. Machzirin tzir hatachton b'mikdash avlo b'medina. Machzirin is a situation where the hinge, in this case we're talking about the lower hinge, has come out of place. So if it's come out of place, the Mishnah says you can put it back into place only in the Beis HaMikdash, but not outside the Beis HaMikdash. We're talking about doors that are doors of closets or boxes. Rashi adds that as long as the upper hinge hasn't come out of place, which would represent the whole door becoming dislodged, it's relatively easy to restore it, and therefore we allow the putting back of the door, the bottom hinge of the door into place, but only in the Beis HaMikdash. Outside the Beis HaMikdash, so the Tanakama is Machmir, because of the fear of your coming to use Kalim to facet it in a firm way in place. And using vessels, using utensils for the purpose of banging it into place would be a malocha. So in the Beis HaMikdash we don't make the gzera, but outside the Beis HaMikdash we make this gzera. Ve'elyoin, if the upper hinge comes out of place, which really represents that the whole door came out of place. Kan v'kan osur, both in the Medina and the Mikdash as well, this will be prohibited. And Rashi adds, this opinion in the Mishnah holds that yesh binyan bekelim. That's Rashi's pshat. Tosfos disagrees with that, but for the time being, we'll use the Rashi pshat. And since we're assuming yesh binyan bekelim, that there's an iser moleches boneh, even with regard to vessels, not just permanent structures, but even vessels like drawers or closets. When it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, we are lenient only with regard to rabbinic restrictions. That's, we say ein shvus b'mikdash, but when it comes to a full-fledged malacha, we are restrictive. The Mishnah continues, Rabbi Yehuda Omer ho'elyoin b'mikdash v'tachton b'medina. Rabbi Yehuda is more lenient, and he says, when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, even if the upper hinge became dislodged, and it's a matter of putting the door back into place, we will allow that. If you're not in the Beis HaMikdash, then we will allow the tachton to be, if the tachton alone became dislodged, we'll allow you to put it back into place. Before we go on in the Gemara, we have a little chart that accompanies this Gemara in the margin, and this chart is based on Rashi. The chart is designed to focus on the tzir tachton, the bottom hinge becoming dislodged. So on the right-hand column, running down the right-hand column, you see we deal with the Beis HaMikdash. That's the tzir shell, the Beis HaMikdash, and the hinge of a vessel. And b'medina, the hinge of a vessel. And then we will also see bor. Bor is a pit, which is not a vessel, but it's part of the ground. But pits had coverings, had doors or coverings to them. We'll have to see more about that. Running across the top of this chart, there are three types or levels of restoring the pin into the socket, the hinge into the socket. There's something called dohakim. Dohakim is a situation where it didn't come completely out of the hole. It's partially out of the hole. It's just pushing it. Dohak means to push. Pushing it back into place will be enough. There's another situation where it becomes totally dislodged. That's machzirin. And then there's a further level of problem, and that is where you are going to use a vessel to like hammer it into place. That's liskoa be'ezras kli. So we have this chart, which hopefully introduces all of the different variables. So now the Gemara, Tonu Rabbonan, Tzir. Now when we open up with the reference to Tzir, which is a hinge, but it should be clear, and we'll see it later in the source, that this is a reference to the bottom hinge, Tzir, Delas Shidotevo Migdal, the hinge of a door. The door of a Shidotevo Migdal B'mikdosh Machzirin B'medina Dohakin. So if the bottom hinge of a door of a Shidotevo Migdal, these are different forms of different types of closets. You can see illustration 95 features a Shida, illustration 97 features a migdal. Illustration 96, you see a teva, different types of boxes or closets that have doors to them. So if the bottom one becomes problematic, so in the Mikdash, Machzirin, that means that in the Beis HaMikdash, if it became completely dislodged, completely out of its socket, you can put it back. But Medina, we don't allow it to be replaced if it's completely out of the socket, but rather if it's just partially if it partially left the socket, you can push it back into place. Voy Elyon. Elyon is a reference to the upper hinge also becoming detached. Then Kan V'Kan Lo Yachzir. Both in the Mikdash and the Medina, you cannot put the door back into place. In other words, once it's completely removed from its location, its both hinges are removed from their sockets, you can't put it back in. Now, according to Rashi, this continuation goes back on the case of the bottom hinge in the Medina, where we said only dochakin, but we don't allow machzirin. Why don't we allow machzirin? Gzeira shemo yiska. We're afraid that if we allow you to replace the bottom hinge into its socket after being completely dislodged, you might come to use utensils in fastening it into place. Ve'im toka chayav hadas. And if you bang it into place using a hammer or other tools, you will be in violation of a Torah level offense, and hence if you did so b'shogeg, you'd bring a sin offering. That's what chayav chatas means. Shel bor v'shel dus v'shel yitzia, the door of a pit. These are bor, dus, and yitzia. Bor and dus are different types of pits, and a yitzia is a structure attached to a building. Lo yachzir, you cannot replace them. Ve'im hichzir, chayav chatas. And if you put them back into their socket, one would be in violation of a Torah level offense and have to bring a sin offering. And the term yachzir, I think it's safe to assume this too is referring to the bottom hinge. Because if it were the upper one as well, it would be totally obvious. But here we're saying that the hachzorah, even without the use of tools, when it comes to the door of something that's attached to the ground, a permanent structure, then even the machzirin by the manual restoring of the bottom hinge into its socket would be a Torah level offense. Again, the distinction between this last case and the previous case is that these are doors to something attached to the ground. It's doors of a permanent structure, as opposed to the original examples of Shita, Table, and Migdal. Those were doors of vessels. The Mishnah. We have a topic heading that accompanies this. On the side, the Nosei reads Ritiya. Ritiya is a bandage, something that's similar to something that when someone, lo aleinu, experiences a broken bone, so they have a cast. It's a type of heavy bandage that could be slipped on and off the wound. So, ritiya and inyono memachik, the issue that the Gemara will be dealing with is the smoothing out of the medicine or the salve that lines the interior of this bandage. And smoothing out the interior of the bandage involves an isur known as memachik, which is one of the ovos melachos having to do with smoothing things out. So we're going to deal with the issue of a bandage, b'mikdash and b'medina, in the context of the Beis HaMikdash and also outside the Beis HaMikdash. The Mishnah, machzirin ritiya b'mikdash, avolo b'medina. This is a situation where, and when you talk about the Beis HaMikdash, we'll talk about a Kohen who is obligated to do Beis HaMikdash sacrificial activity. He cannot do so if his hands are not free from a chatzitza, from some interposition. if a Kohen, let's say, has a wound on his hand, so he can't do the Avodas Beis HaMikdash because of the Chatzitza problem we just mentioned. So the Kohen, in order to, we'll call, say, motivate him to do service in the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishnah says we'll allow him to remove the bandage, then go ahead and do the Avoda and replace the bandage, and we won't make a gzera that he might come to smooth out the salve or the medicines that are on the bandage. However, outside the Beis HaMikdash, we're stringent. We don't allow that. And as we said, the reason is because if one removed the bandage, we're afraid that he might smooth out the salve or the whatever cream that's on there before he puts it back on. Rashi points out that in the case of the Beis HaMikdash, we are allowing him to remove it in order to motivate him to do the avoda, and therefore he won't remove it unless he knows he can put it back on when he finishes the avoda. So we allow the putting of it back on in order to motivate him. So as a result of this, there's a Rashi quotes the Gemara in Maseches Beitza that this is an example of one of those things that we allow the end because of the beginning. In other words, we want the beginning. We want him to remove the bandage in order to motivate him to do the avoda. But he won't do so unless he can put it back on. So that even though in general putting back on is problematic because of the fear of coming to smooth out the interior surface, we are matir the putting back on, overlooking that possible fear, and we do so as to motivate him at the outset to remove it and do the avoda. However, all of this doesn't apply outside the Beis HaMikdash. So, hence you have this stringency of the iser of putting back on a bandage that one may have removed. The Mishnah continues, im betchila, if, however, you're dealing with a situation where a person, even in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohen did not have a bandage on before Shabbos. So this part of the Mishnah is not dealing with someone who took off the bandage in order to do Avoda, but it's a matter of putting on a bandage at the outset. Kan v'kan osur. Both in the Medina and the Beis HaMikdash, it would be forbidden. In other words, the leniency in the Beis HaMikdash is only comes up when there is the removal of a bandage for the purpose of motivating, for the purpose of the Kohen going ahead to do the Avoda. However, if he didn't have a bandage on to begin with, so then this scenario doesn't apply, and hence it will be usher for him to put a bandage on on Shabbos. Tanu Rabbanan. Ritiya shepirsho me'al gabi maka. This source is talking about the Medina, outside the Beis HaMikdash. Here we have a bandage that slipped off on Shabbos. It slipped off. Machzirin b'Shabbos. It can be put back on. Ah, you'll ask, but didn't we learn in the Mishnah that you can't machzir ritiya? That's true when you're dealing with someone who knowingly took it off, deliberately took off the bandage. However, a bandage that falls off, that slips off one's limb, that's an unusual phenomenon. And we have a rule that milsa de l'shchicha lo gozu b'rabbonan, things that are unusual, the rabbonan don't impose rabbinic restrictions, so that the whole rabbinic restriction of machzir, because you might come to smooth out the bandage, which would be an Isur Doraisa, that whole rabbinic fear is not, or that whole fear which motivates a rabbinic restriction doesn't apply when you're dealing with an unusual circumstance. Rabbi Yehuda, he is more stringent. He says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Uchluka lemato dochaka lemala. Uchluka means it's slipped out of place. But it didn't fall off completely. It's just got slipped out of place, so you can reposition it. If it slipped downwards, you can push it upwards. Lamala, if it slipped upwards, you can push it downwards to cover the wound. But if it fell off completely, Rabbi Yehuda will say you cannot put it back on. Umegale mixas retio mekaneach pi hamako, v'chozir megale mixas retio umekaneach pi hamako. If there is a need for the wound to be cleaned, so you can reveal part of the wound on by pushing the retia partially in this direction, doing a cleaning of that side, and then pushing it back in the other direction and cleaning the wound from the other side. Retia atzma lo yikanech. The bandage itself, though, do not involve yourself with cleaning it off. Because that would involve smoothing out the interior lining of the bandage. The imirech, if he is mimareach, chayav chatas, he would be guilty of bringing a sin offering, indicating that this is a Torah level offense. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, halacha kerebi Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda, the Amora, rules like the Tano, Rebbe Yehuda. Omar Rav Chista, lo shanu elo shepirsho al gabi kli. Avo pirsho al gabi karka divrei hakol osir. Rav Chista says that the whole machlokis between the Tanakam and Rav Chista regarding the case of the retia falling off, where the Tanakam is matir to put it back on if it fell off, that's only if it fell onto a vessel. In other words, it didn't fall onto the ground. However, if it fell onto the ground, as the Gemara says, if it fell, and again, falling is a somewhat unusual circumstance. However, Rav Chista tells us that if it fell, but it fell onto the ground, divrei hakol osir, even the Tanakama would prohibit putting it back on. We now continue with a long point made by a long discussion, we'll say. We have a long marking that we call Mor Baravashi. Omar Mor Baravashi. He tells us a little incident. He says, Hava ko'imno kamei abo. I was standing in the presence of father. Father is Ravashi. Noflo le abe sadya v'komahadu le. He had a bandage that fell onto his pillow. Didn't fall onto the ground. It fell onto his bed or onto his pillow. And he picked it up from the pillow and reattached it to himself. Amin ole. So Mor Baravashi says, I said to father, I said, Lo sova lomor, do you not hold lahal diomar Rav Chista, from Rav Chista's teaching, who said, Machloikis shepir shal gabi kli, avo pir shal gabi karka osir. Rav Chista said, if it would have fallen on the ground, everyone would agree it's osir to put it back on. But when it falls onto a kli, there's a machloikis, and we know that Rebbe Yehuda would aser. So according to Rav Chista, the Tano, Rebbe Yehuda, will aser under all circumstances the replacing of the bandage that fell off, even if it fell off onto a vessel. The Omar Shmuel, halacha Rebbe Yehuda. And Shmuel paskins like Rebbe Yehuda. That would mean that bottom line, you cannot put back the bandage, even if it fell onto a vessel. So how is it that you, father, that you are putting back the bandage that fell onto the pillow? Omar Li, and this is all Mor Baravashi tells us, and father then answered me, Lo Shmio Li, Klomar Lo Sviro Li. Baravashi was saying, I don't hear it, but it means I don't agree with Rav Chista. It's Rav Chista that claims that Rabbi Yehuda the Tana would be machmir even if it falls onto a vessel, onto a pillow. I don't agree with that. I hold that everyone will matir in the case the bandage falls onto a vessel. And that's why I put it back on. We continue in the Gemara with a new Mishnah. And before we look at this Mishnah, we also look at diagram 101 that you will find on page 228. It's actually the last page of the diagram section of the Pirush Chai. And lo and behold, we see a musical instrument, a string instrument. Looks like a violin. And in the Beis HaMikdash, instruments were used to accompany the offering of korbanos. There was a choir of Levium that sang, and musical instruments were used to accompany the song in the Beis HaMikdash. The topic that we'll be discussing has to do with a string that snapped on one of these instruments. So now the Mishnah. Koishrin Nimo. Nimo is the strand of the, or the string of the violin, if you will. Koishrin Nimo b'mikdash avolo b'medina. If the strand of the kinor, which is the name of the string instrument in the Beis HaMikdash, if it snapped on Shabbos, so the Mishnah says you can tie it if it's a Beis HaMikdash instrument, avolo b'medina, if it's a Nah, if it's outside the Beis HaMikdash, then it's forbidden. Ve'im b'tchila, if, however, you're dealing with the, we'll say, the setting up of the strings in the first place, where there weren't strings to begin with, and now you are interested in, let's say, making a string instrument on Shabbos, then it's osur, kan v'kan osur, not only in the Medina, but also in the Beis HaMikdash. This is an example of something that could have been done Erev Shabbos. And the Mishnah is of the opinion that things that could have been done Erev Shabbos are not allowed to be done on Shabbos. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei Mivne heading, where we feature triangles. The triangles will be Liyashev Stira Ben Shnei Mekoros, to resolve a contradiction between two sources, our Mishnah and another source that will be featured in the Gemara. Be'inyan nimas kinor, regarding the string of the kinor, the kli shir b'mikdash, it's one of the musical instruments of Beis HaMikdash, shenifsika b'shabbos. We'll talk about, one source mentions koshra, we saw that in our Mishnah, and another source will say onva. Onva is making a bow, only a bow, and not a knot, not tying a knot. Pirush Chai says that there was an illustration number 8 that shows you what aniva would look like. For our purposes, it's along the lines of the way we call tie our shoes. Those who have shoes with the strings on them, with the shoelaces. We can now turn to the Gemara, realizing we have a steerer that's presented, and then quite an elaborate list of resolutions in attempting to resolve this stira, this contradiction. So the Gemara, Viraminu, we have a Tanaic source that says, Nimas kinor shnifsika, a string of the kinor that snapped on Shabbos, lo hoya kosra ela onva. They would not tie it, but rather they would make a bow. When we say make a bow, don't confuse this with the bow that's used to play the instrument, but rather the bow in reattaching a string. Our Mishnah said Koshrin, you're allowed to make a knot. The Brisa, or this Tanaic source, says you're not allowed to make a knot, only Onva. Loi Kashya, here's the first attempted resolution, Ha Rabbonon V'Ha Rebbe Eliezer. Our Mishnah will turn out to be Rebbe Eliezer. As the Gemara explains, the Rebbe Eliezer domar machshire mitzvah doichenes haShabbos kosher, according to Rebbe Eliezer, that says, not only is the actual mitzvah performance that might involve a malacha overrides Shabbos, but even preparatory stages or elements that are used to enable you to do the mitzvah, as in this case, attaching the string, or let's say, fastening or retying the string for an instrument that will be used in the mitzvah. The mitzvah is playing the music. Here we're being machshir, we're readying or preparing it for the mitzvah. That's machshiri mitzvah. Rebbe Lezer says even things like that are doche, will override Shabbos, and therefore, even though on Shabbos it's forbidden to make a knot, that's called the Isser Kshira, nevertheless, since the Mishnah is according to Rebbe Lezer, who holds Machshirei Mitzvah Doche Shabbos, here you're not just making any old knot, you're making a knot for the purpose of eventually fulfilling a mitzvah, one is allowed to do thusly. The Rabbanon, the Amri, Ein Doichin, according to the Rabbanon who disagree with Rebbe Lezer and say they hold Ein Machshirei Mitzvah Doichin as a Shabbos, so Onva. You can't make a knot, because a knot is a malacha, and a malacha that's done for a machshir mitzvah doesn't override Shabbos. So what do we allow? Aniva, making a bow, which is, at this point, viewed as something that's allowed to be done on Shabbos. The Gemara asks, E Rebbe Eliezer, afilu l'chadchilo nami. If our Mishnah is truly authored by Rebbe Eliezer, so even setting up the strings on the instrument in the first place, at the outset, should be allowed. And yet our Mishnah does not allow that. All our Mishnah allows is a case where the string snapped on Shabbos, but to set up new strings at the outset, that is not allowed. But yet Rebbe Eliezer would allow that, so our Mishnah can't be Rebbe Eliezer. Elo lo kashya, so we'll go back to our contradiction and now the resolution. Ha Rebbe Yehuda, the Ha Rabbanon. Our Mishnah that's Matir Kshira is according to the Tana Rebbe Yehuda. The Brisa, or the other Tanaic source that says you're not allowed to do Kshira, that would be according to the Rabbanan. Now, how do we get to Rebbe Yehuda? So if we look in Rashi, we have a little star toward the bottom, you can get to it quickly. The Rebbe Yehuda, the Omar Aniva Av Moloch Masech Shabbos, Rebbe Yehuda says that Aniva has the same halachic status as Kshira. Aniva is also an Av Moloch. So according to Rebbe Yehuda, Ein Chiluk Bein Aniva L'Kshira. There's no difference between them, but kosher, and therefore you can tie a knot. Because Sovar Machshir Mitzvah Doichin, Rebbe Yehuda is also assumed to have the opinion that Machshir Mitzvah Doichin Shabbos. The Ha Desanya Onva, the source that said Onva, Rabbonon, that's according to the Rabbonon, Diamri, Lav Molochahi, that Aniva is not a Molocha. The Kema the Efshe Be Aniva, Lo Machalin Shabbos, and since you can accomplish your goal of attaching the string without doing a Molocha, you can do this. You can do the Aniva. That's the source that the Gemara introduced. The Gemara now asks, for Rebbe Yehuda Aliva Daman, Rebbe Yehuda being a later Tano historically, who was he basing his opinion upon? After all, Rebbe Yehuda is saying you can tie a knot, which is an Av Malacha. So based on whom is he saying this? E Aliba, we continue at the top of Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph. E Aliba de Rebbe Eliezer Ka'omar. If Rebbe Yehuda who is allowing the tying of the knot is according to Rebbe Eliezer, and he would have to be according to Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer who holds Machshirei Mitzvah Doichin Es Shabbos. Well, if that were the case, then Afilu L'Chadchilo Nami. Then Rebbe Yehuda, who is being suggested as the author of the Mishnah, should have allowed placing a string in the first place. In other words, putting a string where there had been none before. And yet our Mishnah doesn't allow that. So the same objection we have to approach number one, the same objection we have there, we are going to have over here in number two. Ella, number three. Lo Kashya, Ha Rebbe Shimon, Ha Rabbanan. Will turn out after this discussion is clarified that our Mishnah is according to the Rabbanan, and the source that mentioned only Aniva, that would be in accordance with Rebbe Shimon. The Sanya, we have the following source in which you will see Rebbe Shimon appearing. Ben Levi Shinifsika Lo Nima Bakinor Koshra. A Ben Levi, who was the Levi who was in charge, who would play the instrument, but the string snapped on Shabbos. He can tie it. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Onva. And here you see very clearly the Tanakama represents our Mishnah, and the second opinion, Rabbi Shimon, represents the other Tanaic source that said only Onva. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Af hi eino mashmas es hakoil. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is different, not to be confused with Rabbi Shimon, this is a different Tana. He is of the opinion that all of these efforts to bind a broken string will be of no avail, because it won't make the proper sound. Playing an instrument with a knotted string or a bowed string isn't going to create the desired sound. Rather, he says, "Elo mishalshil milamata v'korech milamala, oy mishalshil milamala v'korech milamata." There's a rather elaborate. There's a picture. The picture on page 228 of the instrument also shows you how there are knobs at the top of the instrument, which in the event that the string snaps, there's a great deal of excess string wrapped around the knobs that you can see in the illustration. So what he is saying is, forget the whole tying together of the string. Rather, the fragment that's ripped, you'll take that away and release more string length by adjusting the knobs and attaching the string at the lower part of the instrument. V'iboyasema, another approach to the two sources that seem to contradict one another, ha v'ha rabbonon. Both are in accordance with the rabbonon. And the rabbonon we just saw actually allowed tying a knot. So under what circumstances will the rabbonon themselves refer to aniva? So the Gemara says there is no stira, kan be'emsa, kan minatzad. We take a look at the Rashi, ha v'ha rabbonon. Rashi, you'll notice, is a number of lines down from here. Both are according to rabbonon. De machshir and shevshir mibod yom dochen, machshiri mitzvah that you could not have done erev Shabbos, as is the case here where the string snapped on Shabbos. Those are doche Shabbos. V'ha dikotoni masnis in kosra, the case of our mission that says you can make a knot, which is a formal malacha, kishenifsika beemtzoyis. It snapped in the middle. Shil mole onva lo tishmakola, because at that point, if you were to make a bow, no sound would come forth. V'ha dikotoni onva, the source that said make a bow, kishenifsika b'rosheha, where the break was at one of the ends. She'ein tzricha shom chizukokach, where it doesn't need such a firm fastening. V'sagi le baniva, there it would be enough if you make the bow. The Gemara continues, V'i boyasema ha v'ha be'emtza. Both sources are referring to a break in the middle. Mor sovar gazrinon, umor sovar lo gazrinon. Rashi points out, we don't have names over here, but Rashi fills in the names. And we look at Rashi, V'i boyasema ha v'ha be'emtza, ha Rebbi Shimon v'ha Rabbonon. One source is according to Rabbi Shimon, and the other is according to Rabbanan. Ubraisa de Katani Lohoya Koshra, the Braisa that says that they would not tie a knot, Midoraisa Shari. From a Torah level, it really would be allowed. The Svirle Le Rabbi Shimon, Machshirin Mitzvah Doichin, Hechodolo Efshir Lehume Esmol. Rabbi Shimon will agree that Machshirin Mitzvah that you couldn't have done from Friday are Doicha Shabbos, and Mishum Gzeira. Who the gozer emtsa otu minatzad. However, he imposes a restriction, midrabbonon, a rabbinic restriction, regarding the break in the middle, in anticipation of the snapping of the string from one of its ends. And therefore, the source that says loya koshel onho is Rabbi Shimon, even though we're talking about a break in the middle, and even though he holds that machshirei Mitzvah Doicha Shabbos, but nevertheless, he imposes a restriction. The middle, otu, the case of Minatzad. The Rabbonon don't impose a restriction and say you can make an outright knot, being that it snapped in the middle. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.